Hey folks, this is Rebel Rousing Rich Bergeron.
And Psychic Tom has it with a bright, shiny crystal ball.
Big one coming up for Tom to predict this weekend's big UFC fight. But we've had a week off. I got a little bound up in work last week, so we took a week off. A lot happened in a week. One of my all-time favorite insults, Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather, came out of the London press conference. Called him stupid baldy twat. And I swear Dana White smiled because Dana realized, oh, geez, he's not talking about me. He's talking about Floyd. So I was like, yeah, that's funny.
Connor might win, you know, the trash talk of it.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll win up until the moment they step through the ropes.
Possibly. But Paulie Malignaggi is supposedly working with him, and I didn't read any of the articles yet, but I did see that he said there's a method to his madness, basically, Paulie has said so far. He really won't give up too much, but he's got a strategy, supposedly. We'll see if that... All Superman punches, that's a strategy.
You know, I have to ask you guys, just as we're getting started, you both have a lot of friends that aren't involved in the fight world.
Right.
Yeah, I do.
Definitely.
Because I know, Tony, you work in an office. And the reason I'm asking you guys this is I'm getting calls from guys that really, they may know who the UFC heavyweight champ is because he's from here. But if you ask him who has the WBC heavyweight championship belt in boxing, they wouldn't have a clue. And they wouldn't know any of the other weight divisions in the UFC. I mean, just clueless fans asking me about this. Are you getting any of that at work, Tony?
It's funny. No, not really. And I think a lot of the fact that, like, the people that work in my office, remember, I don't work for the company that I'm located at, so I don't know a whole lot of people there. I basically know the people in my office, which there's only one other guy. He's a little older than me. He and I will talk boxing. You know, we don't talk UFC. Some of the other guys that I've befriended in the office, they know I'm in boxing, so they'll stick to me and they'll ask me more along the lines of Canelo Alvarez and Triple G. So, not having a whole lot of conversations in my office where I'm located, whenever I'm down in my center city office, then I'll have more conversations. And people will bring it up to me. People will ask me my opinion, because I'm a guru, apparently.
I'll tell you what, I heard it on a radio show, local New Hampshire radio show. They mentioned the story that they always put on for a lot of McGregor fights for years, that, oh, this fight is going to be able to be seen in theaters. So they had a whole conversation on it the other day on the morning show about the fact that you can go fucking watch this fight in a theater. It's like it's never been done before.
$40, by the way.
Yeah.
$40. That's a pretty expensive movie, you know.
Right, yeah.
Well, the reason I'm asking you guys this is it seems like this has gone beyond boundaries of anything in recent history. I think even going back to the Tyson days. And this stuff was so normal in the 70s, in the 80s, with ice fights. We don't need to get into history. You guys know all that stuff. I mean, these were the kind of fights. I mean, the country was involved in that. It was just so huge. It transcended the sports. And sadly, neither one of these sports has had that. I don't think MMA has really ever been that mainstream, in spite of what some people say that, oh, it's the fastest growing sport in the world. Well,
yeah.
I don't know. A lot of people still are clueless. And boxing, since Tyson, who's really been the big draw?
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And it seems like this is so big that it's kind of like the black hole. I've hit the event horizon now, and I kind of got pulled into it. But
okay,
it's funny you say that, Tom, because with regards to boxing, well, let me go to my limited knowledge of UFC. And talking about transcending, the ones that I would hear a lot of talk about from casual fans would be Brock Lesnar. Because, you know, he was well known from his WWE days, then he made the transition to UFC. So I would hear people talk about some of his fights, but not like, you know, transcending, you know, as you just, said. But with boxing, some of the fights that I can remember over the past two decades, after Tyson Holyfield, I'll say, that really got people talking, Oscar De La Hoya was getting there. I don't think he ever fully broke through on the Ray Leonard scale, but with his fight against Tito Trinidad in 1999, because I had people ask me on that one, you know, at work, I was my first year at my company after I graduated college was 1999, and, you know, that was a fight that people, you know, knew was some interest, even some of the females, because Oscar De La Hoya was very handsome and a lot of the girls liked him. After that, probably not again until Mayweather De La Hoya in 2007, and then last year, Mayweather Pacquiao, or 2 years ago, Mayweather Pacquiao.
Yeah, what a bust.
Yeah, really?
But that's not the point. The point is, at least it had some of that used to be so routine. And it's just amazing that it's taken this thing that we see different than the average person, but I don't want to be perceived as a fight snob, you know what I mean? So it's pulled me in now. It's just pulled me in, and I have to start. I got a call tonight from a buddy in California. He's in a bar, and he said, what are the latest thoughts? Well, you know, dude, you can Google. But so I had to stop. I had to stop my writing job.
He wanted the psychic odds.
It looks like we're minus 550 weather, and we're plus 350 for kind. You know, and then he had someone like, "Well, what does that mean?" Okay, let's start with $100, right? Okay, and then I said, "Well, what was it 6 months ago?" So you know, I've got that table I sent you guys, I'm getting these calls from people who really don't have interest in this. I can't explain it. I just can't explain it, but I'm just going to roll with it now.
Yep.
And I'm having much trouble doing it, so at least I've got you guys. If I start to get into orbit, I know you'll pull me back.
When you sent that table with the odds, and you were saying how the odds were going down, you're like, you know, what's causing this? And I was actually thinking about that a lot tonight on my drive home from work. And I do have another topic regarding Mayweather-McGregor that I do want to touch on in a minute. And basically what I'm thinking here is two things have to be driving this. One is the young fan base that really is still geared towards UFC. Your older, your more traditional guys, I think, are more boxing. You know, your younger guys are right now UFC, and hopefully we can pull a lot of them back to boxing. You know, that would make me happy, and I see a lot of them at local fights. So I think a lot of your younger people that are enamored with the UFC, and they hear all of Conor's trash talking. I got a friend of mine, he's a year or two older than me, and he is believing that McGregor is going to win this fight, and he will not listen to me. And I told him, I said, I don't think he is. I said, dude, and I'm bringing that because, yeah, McGregor's got great hands. I said, for an MMA fighter, maybe. But you're talking about, like I said, the fastest linebacker in the NFL trying to sprint against Usain Bolt. You're still going to get massacred. But he is steadfast believing that McGregor's got it. And I'm laughing at him. And I said, August 27th, call me. You know? Because I said, you know, if you want to throw your money away, why don't you just give it to me? Okay, well, you have to give me 6.5 to 1 odds. I said, no, you said the man was going to win. You didn't say nothing about no odds. I said, now you're chickening out. But I think that's one thing that's going to drive it down is all these young people. The other thing is, it's if you're just putting money out there, you know, it's a chance to win money. You know, why bet on Mayweather? You have to put like 600 down to win, say, like 100 or whatever it is. Hey, you know what? Hey, I'm going to throw on McGregor. You know, why not? Where, like, the time I went to a fight card, the Pacquiao fight, a couple years ago with a couple of my college roommates, and we were looking at the odds. Now, we all picked Pacquiao to win the fight. Also, well, driving the town.
See, what I wish we had is a way to track that money, because in the commodity futures market, there's a way to track that. There's the commercials that use the corn and, you know, use corn and wheat for to make cereal and the cattle industry, all that stuff. Well, they have a certain position, and they have to report their position. And then there's the big funds, and then there's the small speculators. And the small money is considered the dumb money. And that's what you'd have to think here if it's a lot of these amateurs coming in just betting with their heart, not their head. But I don't know if there's a way to track that. Probably isn't. I wouldn't think that the bookies would be, the gambling op places would be sharing that if they'd even know how to track it. So, guess we'll see.
And folks, you didn't just turn into CNBC. That's Psychic Tom's analysis. That's pretty good, Tom. I don't know. That's something to think about for sure. You should open up a Psychic Tom's Odds Makers.
Yeah, there you go.
Actually, maybe that's why you're getting so many calls.
Just amazing that I'm Grand Central Station now. I want to tell these people. www.google.com. They want to get my 2 cents worth.
Well, no, the other thing, I heard this from two sources, and hopefully, you know, it kind of got me worried, because there are two people. One's from Philadelphia, because I work with her. The other person's on more like the western side of the state. And there were rumors floating, but I didn't see anything substantiated that the fight was getting canceled over McGregor's refusal to do a drug test. When I walked into work this morning, like I said, I check Facebook in the morning, and I get into work, I don't see nothing, and I've been following so many boxing people and friends with so many people in the boxing world that, you know, something like that would be literally blowing my phone up. A woman goes to me, she goes, "Is the fight off?" I said, "Is the what? What do you, what?"
Yeah.
She goes, "I heard a rumor that the fight's getting canceled because McGregor won't do a drug test." I said, "I didn't hear shit." So the first thing I did was I jumped on Google, and I didn't see nothing substantiated. I said, "Okay, you know, maybe you just heard something, or maybe you read something, or somebody posted some fake news or whatever, because that's the trending topic these days." But then 6 hours later, I'm about to go to the, or 7 hours later, I'm about to go to the gym, and another friend of mine, actually a teammate of mine at Lock Haven, he's from, like, Western PA, like, Altoona area. And he posted on Facebook, like, "What the F, McGregor, fight canceled, McGregor went to a drug test." Well, these are two totally unrelated people. But then again, I couldn't find anything substantiated, and then he pulled the post. But where is that rumor coming from? Huh. That's what
That's a good question. I mean, that assumes McGregor is going to kiss away a possible $100 million payday. It doesn't make sense. Like, this guy tonight was, "Well, you know he's going to kick him." I said, "No, I don't know that. It's in the contract that if he does any MMA stuff, he's immediately disqualified and there is no payday. And that is a legally enforceable contract." Now, come on. How stupid or crazy do you think he is? And he would just, "I'm not going to take the drug test. There goes my $100 million." I don't think so. Mm-hmm. But that's a good question, where that originated from.
And, you know, same former teammate of mine, you know, I've been following a lot of his posts. You know, we still talk from time to time. And he had a post in there, and it's kind of blasting Conor a little bit. But correctly, they were showing, you know, some workout videos. Now, it was almost like a montage, like, you know, like a Rocky IV montage. Yeah, they were showing him, like, there were not any sparring, but, you know, like, doing the bags, like, hitting the heavy bag and doing the pads, and been like doing some calisthenics and like pull-ups and these crazy sit-ups with his legs wrapped around the heavy bag and doing like these straight vertical sit-ups. But in a lot of the workouts he was doing, there were, if being a boxing coach, if I was training him at this point, I would have been all over his shit, and I would not have allowed it. A couple of the videos, he's hitting the bag wearing MMA gloves.
Yeah.
A couple of the videos, he's barefoot, and a couple of them, he's throwing kicks. So, like I said, I don't know if they pulled in past videos and added them to this montage, which I really don't see how that would make any sense. He's still doing what brought him to the dance, and that stuff is going to be obsolete in this type of environment.
I would have to think that's old stuff. I mean, that would show a fight IQ of room temperature. I just can't believe he's that stupid.
No. But anyway, on the same note of fighters jumping over, one thing I wanted to mention is, where's the undercard? We're a month away. There's no undercard mentioning.
I haven't heard it.
Who the hell else is?
No, I did. I heard Jillian Love, I believe, is on the undercard.
Jillian Love? Okay. So Floyd guy.
Yeah.
No big surprise there. But yeah. Is there any other UFC fighters coming over to boxing on this undercard? I mean,
great question. I'm going to go look right now.
But Amanda Serrano is now the latest female boxer to talk about going over to MMA. She is a former guest of ours on the show. That'd be over a year ago now. Ronda Rousey was still in the game. But she knocked out Edna Kiss in 3 rounds last Friday in Puerto Rico. Since Holly Holm crossed over to MMA and knocked out Rousey, a lot of these female MMA or boxers are looking over at MMA and saying, well, these girls are getting way more attention, you know, and do both. And that's what Amanda is thinking about doing. She says, I love boxing, but the money and recognition for women in MMA is better right now. And she's having problems getting opponents and looking at her MMA debut in 2018. She says, if we do not get a fight with Jackie Nava or Mariana Juarez, two Mexican champions, or with Argentina's Marcela Acuna, we will continue practicing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, kickboxing, and Muay Thai. We have to defend the title in 6 months, so that gives us 6 months to dedicate 6 days a week. Surely for 2018, we can debut in MMA. So, pretty crazy. It's a new trend.
Well, we'll see what ends up. And, you know, Stephen A. Smith had a fascinating debate with Max Kerr, where he said that if the improbable would happen and McGregor could somehow pull off a gigantic upset, it might not be a setback for boxing. I mean, boxing could benefit no matter what happens. And, of course, Kellerman shot that one down pretty quick. First off, it's not going to happen. They had a very spirited discussion about it, but it goes on and on and on. I mean, it's just an amazing sequence. So, just we'll have to keep talking about it, because I know we've kind of been sort of, you know, looking at it like, oh, come on, we know what's going to happen. But the people seem to want it.
Right.
I just can't imagine, but that's where we're at.
Now, one of my favorite stories since we were last on is about this kid from London who snuck into the backstage area at McGregor versus Mayweather press conference there in London, and pretty much got a laminator. He found somebody's two different types of passes on the social media that people posted, you know, in advance. They were going to this event, and he made his own. And false credentials, and this view, the last time I loaded this video up, it had over 1 million views. This kid not only snuck backstage, he walked by Dana White 6 times. He walked out with McGregor to the stage, walked right out with him. and even had a chance to ask him a question, but kind of blissed out. But this is on YouTube out there. The video title is Sneaking Backstage at the McGregor versus Mayweather Press Conference in London. And so, Psychic Tom, we got a plan in place for you to do this at the fight.
All right. I'm ready for anything now. I'm ready for anything.
That's amazing. I mean, this day and age with the technology and everything, to think that nobody would even question just a regular pass like that. I mean, even at a press conference, it's kind of crazy. But literally, this guy was right over.
He must have had some good body language.
Yes.
Because a lot of times people
dressed
see
well.
What they expect to see. And sometimes I mean I've heard that the best criminals do things in broad daylight and act like they, I'm just doing my normal thing. And there you go.
Right. Amazing stuff. Anyway. UFC, a lot of UFC going on, and it has gone on since we were last on the air, so to speak, even though we're recorded. We got UFC on Fox 25 just happened, of course, but before that we had UFC Fight Night 113, Nelson versus Ponzinibbio there, and Santiago Ponzinibbio pulled out a big upset, I guess. I mean, Nelson was pretty close to his home area, and got creamed. First round, 1 minute and 22 seconds in, got connected with a couple punches, and that was all she wrote there. This was from Glasgow, Scotland, too, and poor Joanne Calderwood. I thought she kicked Cynthia Calvillo's ass, and somehow Calvillo, in Calderwood's home country, got the unanimous decision. I don't understand.
You know, Richard, I have to ask you, you always talk about holding your hands low.
Right.
How you yell at the screen when you see someone doing that. Now, go ahead, that's almost like a karate taekwondo style.
Right.
And his hands were so low against someone that has stones in their hands. And I wasn't really shocked by that. I mean, because you've got me now just paying it, and then I have another friend around here that's big on that, too. You know, like his hands are so low. And, you know, Gunnar had a strategy, but boy, you know, what's that old saying? Everyone has a plan until they get
don't
hit.
Work. Yeah.
And,
Mike Tyson, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face.
No.
It's funny, and Mark Cuban's always saying that on Shark Tank.
He's going to have to reevaluate that stance.
Right, definitely. And, you know, you got to also credit the experience of Ponzinibbio, you know, and going in there with the intent to just walk right through him and destroy him and stun him, and it worked. So, good stuff there.
Oh, you got to give him a lot of credit, but just with a lot of that card, those European guys really need some American boxing coaches over there. Get some head movement. These guys were stiff as boards, a lot of them.
Right.
I'm sure we'll get into that as you go through the results here.
And Calvillo was mostly wrestling, was her skill set, and just really didn't do much for effective striking. And Calderwood, I thought, other than getting that one bloody nose, I mean, she just dominated. So I don't understand why the judges gave it to the other girl. Don't understand it at all. But anyway, another hometown guy or home area guy, Paul Felder, got a win over Stephen Ray with a first round knockout from elbows, 3 minutes and 57 seconds into that one. We had Jack Marshman beating Ryan James by unanimous decision, Khalil Roundtree beating Paul Craig by a knockout from punches, which is 4 seconds left in the first round. And Justin Willis getting a unanimous decision over James Mulheron. And another guy from the area, Neil Seary, lost to Alexander Pantoja. And I believe he retired, Neil Seary, after that fight. I think I read something about Conor McGregor giving some tribute to him or something. In his retirement. But speaking of retirement, boxing too, as well, we had a big retirement. Robert Guerrero, after losing his fight, decided to call it quits. And we just interviewed somebody friendly with him out there in Vegas. The guy who says he stops by the gym a lot. So, kind of crazy.
Tony, did you see the Guerrero fight?
I did not. I forget if I was at a game that night. I don't know where the hell I was. I'm on BoxRec right now. Let me look at something real quick.
How about you, Rich? Did you see the fight?
I saw, I guess you could call them highlights, but they weren't highlights for Robert. I tuned in right at the end of it, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I intended to watch it. But.
Virgil Hunter really had a great breakdown there. It just shows how hard boxing is, because in the clinch, and Guerrero really came to fight. I mean, I thought you could make a case he may have won those first two rounds. But the problem is, he just didn't seem to have the punch to get things done. But he was landing some very good shots. But again, maybe he should have been boxing more. I mean, yeah, hindsight's 20/20, duh. But in the clinch, it's like he would be looking away from his opponent. He just couldn't see those uppercuts come. And he kept getting dropped, and Virgil Hunter was just really noticing that, how Guerrero was just... It would just seem like such a basic thing for a guy that's fought as many years at the highest level that Guerrero has.
All right.
So sometimes it's hard to think in them.
Well, it was something like 5 knockdowns, and that was
good.
So it was a bad night for Guerrero, and obviously he spoke with his family and decided that's enough is enough. So.
Well, yeah, if you can't do it at that level... The old cliche, Max Kellerman, boxing's not the kind of thing to hang around in just to say you're hanging around.
Right.
Yeah, right.
I mean, because you got all those guys who want to beat up on a guy that's been at that level, and just not worth it.
And here's the segue for you. Speaking of hanging around, Chris Weidman is still going to be hanging around in the UFC because he didn't have his 4th loss in a row the other night. In Long Island, in his home turf, he took out Kelvin Gastelum, who maybe didn't get a chance to do his pre-fight ritual this time.
Well, so. you know, Rich, my view on that, there is so much hatred for Weidman, so much irrational hatred. Like, before the fight, the underground was on fire. This is it for Weidman. He's going to be retired. He's going to get stopped in the first round. He has no chance. Then when he wins, well, he just beat up a blown-up welterweight. Gastelum's not a legitimate middleweight. Well, wait, you can't have it both ways. And I think what a lot of this hatred is about the Anderson Silva fights.
Right.
That these guys just cannot let go. And to me, that's as irrational as hating on Larry Holmes because he beat up Muhammad Ali. Well, what's Larry Holmes supposed to do?
Right.
I mean, come on. This is a fight. And Weidman didn't break any rules, and as far as Anderson getting that serious injury in the rematch, that was not Chris Weidman's fault.
Right.
I mean, you know, when you throw a Muay Thai roundhouse kick, I mean, I've done that, and then when it's checked like that, it hurts like hell.
Right.
Your bone could break as hard as he was throwing it. But it was nothing dirty. I'm sure Weidman didn't want to give a serious injury like that. And these guys just cannot let it go. I mean, I don't know where Weidman's going from here, but boy, he can't catch a break.
He looked very crisp in his striking this time.
Did you see the countdown for that fight?
No. But I did see the fight. Well, Weidman watched a couple of the main fights.
Weidman was training at the Sports Science Lab, and boy, these guys were all over him for this newfangled training. I mean, he just can't catch a break. Well, we'll see where he goes. He's got at least a few more fights left in him.
Right. And he got the win by arm triangle choke, which... I don't know, it's there's a lot of ways you can get into that, but it's basically like a triangle choke that you would do with the legs, but you get to get an arm lock, and you know, I think it's what Randy Couture did to James Toney, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
It was arm triangle, and this took until round 3, but. Gastelum really just didn't have the reach, and Weidman had such improved striking, just wasn't really a fight. And then Darren Elkins beat Dennis Bermudez, which was kind of a shock, by a split decision. That was a rough fight for both guys. And Patrick Cummins got a win over Gian Vellante by split decision as well. Jimmy Rivera got a unanimous decision over Thomas Almeida. And here's a name, Eliseu Zaleski dos Santos beat Lyman Good by split decision. Eighth fight of the night, Eric Anders beat Rafael Natal by knockout in the first round, 254 into that one. Alex Oliveira. I did not see that one. I guess I missed that one. But Alex Oliveira got a knockout over Ryan LaFlair by punches. Second round, 1 minute and 50 seconds into that one. We also had Chase Sherman getting a win over Damian Hrabowski by unanimous decision. Another unanimous decision for Jeremy Kennedy over Kyle Bochniak. We had Marlon Vera getting an armbar submission, 2 minutes and 18 seconds in the first round over Brian Kelleher. Junior Albini beating Timothy Johnson by TKO in the first round. Shane Burgos beat Godofredo Castro by unanimous decision, and Chris Wade beat Frankie Perez by unanimous decision. And of course, you've got the big fights coming up from the Honda Center in Anaheim, California. We're going to get to those later, but we'll talk a little boxing. I got a hell of a name for us this week. It's not really the upset of the week or a weird fight, but this is one of the funniest names I've ever seen on the box rec lists. This guy is a cruiserweight. His name is Melvin Weasel Boy. He's 1-0. I gotta click on his record just to see if they have a nickname for him. What do you call the Weasel Boy?
Do you even need a nickname with that kind of a name?
Melvin Weasel Boy. he fought last...
Yeah, I gotta wonder what got him into fighting. Do you guys have a clue, Rom? What do you think? Oh, wow.
He's scheduled to fight Billy Martin.
Are you trying to insinuate that people would make fun of that name?
He got a TKO on his debut.
I imagine they probably quit making fun of it after a while once he learned how to take care of himself.
Well, he's fighting at the Boxing and Bulls Outdoor Grounds in Hayes, Montana this weekend. And his first fight was against Ruben Roundstone. Another crazy name. Beat him by TKO. Yeah, but that one's going on in Montana. There's a lot better fights going on this weekend, of course. Let's go down through the list. It's kind of a big one in Japan, in Osaka on Friday, for the Japanese light flyweight title. Tetsuya Hisada, 28-9-2, fighting Atsushi Kakutani, 19-5-1. Alright. And Chihuahua, Mexico, Friday night. Super Bantamweights Juan Jimenez, 23-12, fighting Edgar Alfredo Martinez, 18-16-1. And here's another crazy boxing name. Roxburgh Patrick Riley at featherweight is 10-0, fighting Benjamin Chavez, who's 1-8. That could be the mismatch of the week right there. From Chihuahua. WBC Latino flyweight title on the line in Nicaragua on Friday. Flyweight Christopher Rosales, 23-3, fighting Jose Martin Tequa Petla, who is 13-7-4. All right. We've got fights in South Africa. Main event there, super bantamweights Lodumo Lamati, who is 11-0-1. He's fighting Luis Melendez, who is 47-10-1. That one's for the vacant IBF Intercontinental Super Bantamweight title. Also, the IBO World Super Flyweight title on the line between Gideon Boothalazy, 19-5, and Ryan Ray Ponteras, who's got 20 wins, 11 losses, and one draw. Fights down there in South Africa. We got Kissimmee, Florida, tomorrow night on Telemundo. Super Flyweight's David Carmona, got 20 wins, 4 losses, 5 draws. Fighting Jose Martinez, who's 19-0-1 for the vacant WBO NABO Super Flyweight title. It's a big one. And in Argentina, South American featherweight title on the line. Mateus Carlos Adrian Rueda, 27-1, fighting Aldemar Silva, who's 19-11. And that's pretty much the best fight on that card. Alright. Let's get to the Saturday fights. I believe Adrian Broner is fighting this weekend, isn't he? Mikey Garcia and Broner?
Yes, yeah, I'm not going to be able to get up to that one like I wanted to, but should be interesting.
And if you like...
Should be very interesting.
And if you like the minimum weight females, you got to go to Mexico on Saturdays for Annabelle Ortiz. She's 24-3, fighting Nancy Franco, who's 17-10-2. WBA World Female Minimum Weight title. Is that the minimum weight? What is that? 80 pounds? 60 pounds? Also Saturday.
Minimum weight. 105?
Wow, that is light.
Yeah.
Oh, we got the Jesus fight of the week. Jesus fight of the week is the mismatch of the week, I think, this week. Down in Durango, Mexico. This one's going to be on CBS Sports Network, actually, Saturday. Super featherweight's Christian Mijares. He is 56-8-2, fighting Rafael Hernandez, who's 21-7-2. We got a couple Jesuses on this card. We got Luis Jesus Vidales, who is 12-4, fighting Ivan Alvarez, who is 26-7. And also, far down on the list here, we've got Jesus Trevino at welterweight. He is 12-2, fighting Omar Andrade, who's 1-6-1. And I think it's Omar who's going to need the miracle against Jesus this time. 12-2. Jesus fight of the week and mismatch of the week. Same one, Durango, Mexico. WBA El Fedibol, whatever the fuck that is, welterweight title on the line in Panama. Welterweight's Brad Solomon, 26-1, fighting David Bensey, who's 11-6-1. Pretty good matchup there.
Well, I want to get back to this match to see if I, Garcia and Brenner, and, Tom, what is your crystal ball on this one?
I like Garcia. I just like his poise. I like his mindset. I was listening to the interviews, and to be honest, there's so much going on, I haven't analyzed it to the extent that maybe I could give a more intelligent feeling, but just my gut feeling, I like Garcia.
Along the same lines. I like Mikey Garcia a lot. As a fighter and as a person, if you go back to his fight in January here, he fought, and I was just looking at it on BoxRec, and I'm going to butcher the guy's name, so I'm not even going to try to say it, but he fought a real, real, real tough fighter. I forget if the guy was Croatian or something like that, and he blitzed him. They said the guy had never been down as a professional or an amateur, never been buckled. Garcia knocked him out to the point they were about to bring him out on the stretcher. Right. But at the same time, Garcia, was boxing around a little bit of a layoff. Sort of right hand, he looped it a little bit, to get around his gloves. And, knocked the guy, stone out cold. And, at the same time, Garcia's jubilant. Hey, you want a big title fight here? He's excited. But then, he showed genuine concern for his opponent, who was, down and out. He went over there, he didn't gloat over him, and he really...
I remember that one.
Get the guy revived, then he was, do your job, you want to win, but you don't want to hurt anybody. Now, all in the same time, do you take a guy like Brenner, who was like a teacher, or like a school in the summer, no class, and he'd be sitting there, dancing around. Like, he's got that Prince Nazim Hamed mentality, showboating, showing people up and things like that. Hey, there's a time, you know, you can, you know, have a little fun in there, and, you know, you can celebrate what you've done, but at the same time, you don't want to mock anybody, because you know what, it sucks when the shoe's on the other foot.
Yeah, I think I would like to see Adrian Broner hurt, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Especially considering his history of bowling bets and the aftermath of beating that guy up for a bowling bet.
He has no respect for his opponents. He has no respect for the sport. He has no respect for the fans. Let's just be flat out honest here. You know, for the guy that's, you know, had so many fights where he hasn't made weight, the one time he was like a half pound over and he's like, nope, I can't make weight.
Right.
It's like, come on, really? You know, half pound, you take a shit and you're right there. So I was actually debating a friend of mine today who's, as I've spoken about him several times in the air, he's one of those guys, like, he has certain fighters he likes, and they can do no wrong. He has certain fighters he doesn't like, and no matter what, like, he doesn't like Manny Pacquiao. You never did. So every fight Pacquiao had, he always predicted him to lose. Oh, he's going to, you know, Joshua Clady's going to kill him, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then Clady gets whitewashed, loses every round. Oh, he obviously was paid off. You know, he's got that mentality. So he's coming out there, he's picking Broner. Broner. I said, you know what, Broner's a front runner. He's like a guy that when it gets too hot, he wants to get out of the kitchen. Did he ever quit in a fight, whatever? I'm like, well, you know what? You go back to his fight against Marcos Maidana, you know, he showed some dog in there. And I'm not talking about, you know, the dog in the fight, the big dog in the fight. I'm talking about a guy that's like, he dogged it.
Yeah.
You know, his last fight, you know, Adrian Granados. Well, I think it was on ESPN2 or Showtime. I don't remember. But that was a fight that, you know, Granados won that fight. It was a split decision, you know, in Broner's favor. It was Broner won. And as they said in Rocky 2, as Apollo said, Broner could sit there and say, I won, but I didn't beat him.
Right.
You know?
Well, he is the king of the counterfeit shoulder roll, I think. And
yeah.
He tries to be like Floyd, but he really can't be.
Always tried to he always said about Floyd, like, oh, would you ever want to fight Floyd? No, that's Big Brother, man. I can't fight Big Brother. We in this together. Big Brother. And so he always reminded me of that, like, annoying little yappy dog on Looney Tunes. Hey, Spike, we're buddies. Right, Spike. Shut up. That's what he's reminding me of, you know, with the Big Brother bullshit.
Yeah.
But when I'm looking at this fight, I have two things that come into my mind, and you guys can agree or disagree with me. If Broner comes in and brings his A game, he comes in shape, he comes focused, you know, he, you know, comes in here saying, you know what, if I lose, I'm a stepping stone. You know, I got to win this fight. If he comes in with that mentality, so that the first four or five rounds, it's going to be a very good fight. Because he's naturally faster than Garcia. I can't really say he's naturally bigger because they both came up around the same weight classes. Just Broner had the propensity to put on weight. And, you know, I think he could fight a lot lighter than he is sometimes. He just doesn't train. So I wouldn't say he's a naturally bigger guy. But he's naturally faster. He's, you know, very good reflexes. So he'll make it tough for Garcia for about five rounds. Garcia's body work will then start to make the difference. And when Garcia touches him, he's going to make it count to the body and to the head. And I think it'll be maybe around 10 rounds. Garcia stops him. If Broner comes in anything less than his A-plus game, and I'm going to quote a gentleman that sat right behind me at the fights a few weeks ago in Philadelphia. We were talking about this fight, and his exact words were, if Broner doesn't come in there in shape, he's going to get hurt. He's going to get hurt. Those were his exact words. And you know what? And this guy was a either a amateur about to turn professional, or he just turned professional, and I apologize for forgetting his name right now. But we were sitting there talking. You could tell that he knew the fight game. He and I had a great conversation the whole night. And his words were, if Broner doesn't, you know, come into that fight, you know, in the best shape, in the best mental focus, he will get hurt. Right. And I second that notion. if Broner comes in there at an A-minus game or a B-plus game, or for Broner, a C-plus game, Garcia wipes him out in five rounds.
Wow, there you have it. The tornado is psychic.
All right.
Uh-oh, we're mixing roles. But this is a stacked card, too. I agree, Mikey Garcia is probably going to easily handle Broner. And boy, would I love to see that happen. Leave no doubt, he's a Showtime boy, Broner is, but he's going to be on the seat of his pants, I think, if Garcia can execute his game plan. But we've got a couple other good fights worth mentioning, at least. Jermall, that's the brother, right? Charlo, 25-0, fighting Jorge Sebastian Hyland, who is 29-4-2 in the co-main event in middleweight. And then we've got super flyweights Rauche Warren, 14-2, fighting Mick Joe Arroyo, who is 17-1.
That's a good name, I like it.
And then we got the heavyweights, Jarrell Big Baby Miller, 18-0-1, fighting Gerald Washington, who is 18-1-1. And that's a decent fight right there. Got a female fight.
Yeah, I mean, you look like this, man. Big Baby. Talk about it. We're talking about a big guy here. I'm looking at him on the boxer right now. He's 6'4". His last fight, about a year ago, weighed 296. You know? I mean, that's like 282, 274, 280. Oh, my God, this one he was very felt. A couple years ago, he was 255. Wow. That shows you right there, when you're having a fluctuation of that much, I mean, that's 40 pounds right there in literally a year.
Oh, baby fat.
He might be a guy that might have trouble controlling his weight.
Right.
He actually has a draw with one of our former guests from a couple of years ago, Joey DeWaco.
Oh, right.
And yeah. Talk to Joey. Joey said he would like to have that one back and have a chance at fighting a rematch. Yeah. And that fight, looking at the scores on there, it was 37-37, all three judges, but Miller had 2 points deducted, so he would have been ahead 3-1 on all three cards.
Right.
Now, Gerald Washington, I know he had fought for Deontay Wilder back in February and got stopped in the fifth round. But he's a guy, you know, he has some good wins on his ledger. You know, he beat Fast Eddie Chambers, fighter out of Philadelphia, he has a draw against Amir Mansour, win against Jason Gavern. My only thing that concerns me about him is I see a lot of decisions on there. Let's see what we got here. He's 18-1-1. He's got 12 knockouts. Looks like a lot of more TKOs early in his career. So looks like when he stepped up a little bit, he's, you know, going the distance.
Right. Also on that card, we have Katie Taylor versus Jasmine Clarkson. It's kind of a smaller fight, but it's lightweights. Females 5-0 is Katie Taylor. Clarkson is 4-8. And this is somebody's always got to go in the fight between Noel Murphy 10-0 and Julio Cesar Sanchez, who is 11-0. Not Chavez. Don't get it twisted there. That's a welterweight fight. And here's a big one. Billy Dibb, 42-4-0, fighting Yardley Armenta Cruz, who is 22-8 at super featherweight. I'm a poet. I didn't know it.
Yeah.
And then you got ESPN fights as well. Oscar De La Hoya, Golden Boy, has a fight card on Saturday. Welterweight Saddam Ali in the main event, fighting Johan Perez, who is 22-3-2. Saddam Ali is 24-1. That's for the vacant WBA, NABA,
recently?
USA welterweight title. Didn't he get what?
Wrecked? Wrecked, as in knocked out.
Oh, he's 24-1. Saddam Ali, is that who you're talking about?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it. Was it recently? I don't know. It's like in the middle of
the
six fights.
Yeah,
Johan Perez looks like he got knocked out or lost in his last fight. I don't know about Ali, though. The co-main event there is Super Welterweights.
I'm sure we'll find it. This was Friday or Saturday?
This is Saturday, this fight coming up.
The tornado's on it.
Patrick Teixeira in the co-main event at Super Welterweight. He's 26-1, fighting Andrew Hernandez, who's 19-5-1. And then we got welterweights Eddie Gomez, got 20 wins, 2 losses, fighting Alejandro Barrera, who's got 28 wins and 3 losses. And then we got to mention the one in the United Kingdom. We skipped.
The legit jackal.
Does it say what?
The jackal, Carl Frampton.
Oh, yes. Carl Frampton and Andres Gutierrez. Both of them have 1 loss. Carl has less experience. He's got 23 wins to go with the 1 loss. Andres comes in with 35 wins and 1 draw to go with the 1 loss. No title on the line at featherweight there, but decent fight there. That's going to be a good one. And they got a couple titles on the line in the co-main events. We've got middleweight Conrad Cummings, 11-1-1, fighting Robert Swierzbinski, who is 18-6-2 for the WBO European middleweight title. And then Paddy. What would a UK fight be without a guy named Paddy? No, this is Northern Ireland, too, so... Even more. Belfast. Paddy Gallagher. He is 11-3, fighting Ricardo Silva, 14-1. I don't think anybody's going to be rooting for Silva. It's for the vacant IBO Continental Welterweight title. So, that's that one. Over in the UK.
And to, confirm I was correct. Last year, March 5th, 2016, Saddam Ali was knocked out in the 9th round by Jesse Vargas. Okay. He was dropped in the 8th and the 9th.
Rain Man strikes.
Told you. Yeah. Hey, you guys want to hear something funny? The other week I was over at my friend's house, and we were going to the Italian festival. You know, because, you know, we go with our people. And, you know, my friend was bringing his son, who's 6 months old now. And a few years ago, I bought these Italian wristbands, and I gave my friend the headband. So he put it on the kid. And then I'm joking around, I'm talking to the kid, and the kid's 6 months old, he just thinks I'm hilarious. And I'm like, I'm your Uncle Tornado. And that's T-O-R-N-A-D-O. And the kid's just looking at me. And I told my son, I said, you know, when your son gets old enough to be in his first spelling bee, I said, I have a feeling. This is my crystal ball coming through, Tom. Mm-hmm. So the winning word that day, he might be in like first grade or second grade, the winning word is going to be tornado. And I'm going to be in the audience, and I'm just going to pull up, you know, my shirt, and he can read it off my ribs. And my friend looked at me and goes, that's not going to be necessary. Because as much as you say that and spell it all the time, that's going to be the first word the kid knows how to spell. Not going to be mom, not going to be dad, not going to be cat, be dog. It's going to be T-O-R-N-A-D-O. Because that's like I say, I'll get people to wear it. If anybody's ever in the car with me and I got to call my family, I'll call my mom and she'll answer the phone. And I'll be like, hello? I'm like, Madre. She'll be like, yes? I'm like, it's the tornado. She's like, I know who it is. I'm like, T-O-R-N-A-D-O. She's like, I don't know how to spell it.
That's fun. Yeah, now you got a tattoo to prove it.
That's
good. When are you going to put the word tornado next to it? Or did you already?
I already did that.
Oh, jeez. It's official.
I did that 2 months ago.
I did see it.
You saw the big funnel cloud.
I drew a blank.
Yeah, I had the big funnel cloud done last fall, and then I actually had the word done in June.
Aha. Way ahead of me. Anyway, so we got a couple of MMA fights this weekend, and that's about it for us. And no big, huge stories sweeping the radar this week that I've been keeping my eye on. There was a death in an MMA fight somewhere, but it was kind of like a lower tier league, nothing big. The guy was a heavyweight fighter, And after the fight, he collapsed backstage and sounded like it was his first or second fight, so it wasn't a big deal. It's obviously a guy out of shape. And sounds like he had a either a, some kind of an aneurysm or a heart attack. Anyway, UFC 214 coming up this weekend. That's the big, big fight. Everybody's looking forward to John Jones trying to redeem himself. 22-1 going against Daniel Cormier. 19-1 who has the belt by default because John Jones is, as he calls himself, I think, a piece of shit. He embraces it. He doesn't care. You know, if people think that, but Daniel Cormier and him have some history. There's been some shoes thrown. There's been some serious animosity between the two guys. Fines, crazy interviews, a lot of disrespect, and you know, it should be interesting. Daniel Cormier has had a lot more real-world experience in the cage recently than John Jones, who can't seem to put it together. You know, he's either getting busted for taking a penile enhancement pill or drag racing on the streets. You never know what the hell he's going to get into. But
cocaine, hit and run.
Yeah. Goes back to his car to get his weed pipe when he gets a hit and run. And his money.
Yeah.
Disappears for the weekend, then turns himself in. And so that's really what stripped him of the title. But also had a DUI. Just what else can we add to the list? I don't know. But it's amazing that this fight is going forward and has not been canceled yet, knock on wood. That's the main event. And with Anaheim, California, that's obviously pay-per-view. Co-main event is another title fight. Demian Maia, long time coming for him. 25-6 going against Tyron Woodley, who's 17-3-1. And a big fight for Cyborg, Christian Justino, 17-1, fighting Tonya Ebinger, who is 19-5. And there's no title on the line there, I believe, but it's obviously pretty big for Cyborg to be that high on a UFC card, especially considering the fight before that is Robbie Lawler versus Donald Cerrone. Robbie Lawler's first time back since his brutal knockout. Tough fight there. He is 27-11 fighting Donald Cerrone, who is 32-8. And then we got a guy who's been rumored to be thinking about fighting David Haye, Jimmy Manua. He is 17-2 fighting Volkan Ozdemir, who is 14-1. And we got Jason Knight, who's got 20 wins, 2 losses, fighting Ricardo Lamas, who is 17-5. Hayden Barao back in action. He's 34-4, fighting Alden. Most recent installment of the Professional Fighters League. Interesting card here. We've got main event of Andre Harrison, 16-0, fighting Steven Rodriguez, who's 10-2. This is in Everett, Washington. On the 29th, same day as the UFC. Co-main event there is going to be Yushin Okami, 33-10, fighting Andre Luis Leal Lobato, who is 24-6. So, decent co-main events there. Also, some recognizable names here. Former UFC guys, a lot of them. Or Bellator. Jake Shields, 31-9-1, fighting Danny Davis Jr., who's 13-11 with one draw. We got Bruno Santos, 15-2, fighting Rex Harris, who's 10-2. Josh Copeland, 12-4, fighting Mike Kyle, who's 22-14-1. Both of those guys are UFC vets. Jared Rosholt, 14-4, fighting Nick Rosborough, who is 26-19-1. We won't go through the whole list, but we've got Luiz Firmino here, 19-8, fighting Eddie Ellis, who's 21-16 with one draw. Yeah, that's pretty much it for the big guys, but yeah, I'm looking forward to this big UFC fight card. Definitely. And, I don't know, that's pretty much all I've got for big news this week. Just keep checking the website, we'll have more stuff. We got a lot to post tonight. So all the latest news that I didn't get to last night will be posted, and then we'll post the show. So you'll be listening to that after you've already read all the latest news. But, yeah, we'll be watching a lot of fights this weekend. And we'll be praying that we get to see Adrian Broner on his back doing the shoulder roll.
That's right.
No, we don't have to pray because Mikey's going to make it happen. Mikey likes it. Mikey likes that fake shoulder roll. Anyway, till next
week. And remember, Mikey has not learned how to lose.
No.
And that's something else to think of.
Undefeated.
Right.
All right, guys. Well, we definitely won't take too many weeks off now. Because I hate having to catch up. I don't like catching up.
We'll be busy next week.
We got a lot to talk about, a lot more going on next week, I'm sure, and we'll chat then.
Okay, sounds good. Well, gentlemen, have a good weekend.
You too.
All right, guys, enjoy the fight.
Absolutely, baby.